Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everybody, it is Wednesday night, February 1st, 2023. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the only podcast that is Nanas and Kids approved. I am the man with the award-winning beard. I am DJ. I'm going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters we have with us here tonight. We've got four people running, got a special guest on here. Going to start with the man from the Rob the Genius Podcast, the Minister of Truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, a man blocked by Adam Pearce just for playing along, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, how are you tonight, Bubba?
Not too bad. Can't complain. And then the shovel is ready.
Yeah, it did. I have a feeling the shovel is going to get a little bit of work here tonight. And Bucky's tag team partner, hailing from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, a retail worker and a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, how are you, Bubba?
Doing well, fellas. How are y'all doing today?
Wish it was Friday. Not going to lie to you.
Fair, fair.
And sitting fourth chair here tonight from the DWI podcast, from the Bandwagon Nerd podcast, he is the artist formerly known as Pizza Tunny, the Commissioner of the United States of America, Mr. PC Tunney. Welcome to the show tonight, sir.
The full gimmick, though, is Pizza Funny.
Pizza Funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here, the quick story behind that is Miz got injured with the knee, and I was dared to be Pizza Funny till he came back. I almost made it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I'll get your intro right. This is, I think, your second, maybe third time on here.
No, you're good. It just is a tribute to the, non-sober nature of my conversation when I'm talking.
cheers to you. We're having a little bit of whiskey here tonight on my end. Speaking of PC Tunney, next week, just like there were cracks in the bloodline this weekend, there are cracks in the foundation of the Chair Shot Radio Network. Some of the boys on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast have got heat with PC Tunney. One of the boys on the Bandwagon Nerds has heat with PC Tunney. And next week, we are going to have a staff meeting, a bit of a trial of PC Tunney. Everybody's going to bring these allegations to light. And Tunney is going to have a chance to defend himself. I offered him a public defender in Jason.
No, I can't.
Tunney,
I have my
Tunney
own lawyer.
Declined.
I have my own lawyer, Dave Ungar. Can I bring Dave Ungar?
Well, let's see if we can fit him on here. Because that's going to be five of us, maybe six. We'll see. Maybe if Dave's available, maybe we'll bring Dave on.
He'll just show up to defend me, and then he leaves. We don't mind.
Okay. All right. We'll work on that. So you choose Dave Ungar. So we'll figure something out for Dave.
He's actually a lawyer.
He is a lawyer. That will be next week on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, a part of the Chair Shot Radio Network. You can find all these podcasts and more on thechairshot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head. So tonight, we are going to be talking Royal Rumble, all things Royal Rumble, and the road to WrestleMania. WWE kicked off not only its pay-per-view year, but the road to WrestleMania this past Saturday in grand fashion. We're going to start off here just going down the card, and I'm just going to kind of go around the room here real quick and get everybody's general feelings about the Rumble. Jason, the overall show, what did you think? Did it hit for you? Did it miss?
It definitely hit. The theme of the night was, at least for tonight, play it straight and let's not reinvent the wheel. And that honestly was really, really refreshing to see. You know, I have my complaints about the winners, with some of the winners and things like that. But for all intents and purposes, you know, it was a pretty straight show with no, I mean, yes, the blow up of the bloodline is something that happened, but that's not just all of a sudden they threw it at us. That's been building for weeks and weeks, and if not months.
Right.
So, yeah, they pretty straightforward show, and I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would say, you know, across at least two of the three podcasts I was on last week, this one being one, DWI being another, we all had our own theories as to what we thought might happen. And a lot of those theories we tried to go against what WWE was really laying right in front of us. Like, they laid it in our lap and said, look, this is what we're doing. And a lot of us tried to buck that system and say, nah, maybe they'll do this, maybe they'll do that. Like Jason said, they played it straight. Tunney, what do you think? Did it hit for you? Or were you wanting more surprises?
That was one of the best wrestling premium live event shows I've ever watched in my entire life.
Okay. All right. That's a flag firmly planted in the ground. I like it. Mr. Genius.
Not the first time I've said it.
Mr. Genius, do you echo those sentiments, or are you a little bit more?
Great start, great end, middle.
Okay. All right. We're going to get your thoughts on the middle here in a few. All right. Overall, I'm leaning towards Tunney's assessment. There were maybe some things in the middle that I could maybe pick apart. But all in all, if this is the start to WWE's 2023 Premium Live event, man, they've got me roped in already. You know, like on the first Premium Live event, I'm roped in and ready to go. They kicked off the show with the Men's Royal Rumble. Interestingly enough, I mean, they figured they might kick off with one of them, but they kicked off with the men's, and I'm going to go backwards around the room here. Rob, anything that stood out with you as far as this went?
The Men's Rumble?
Yeah.
The Men's Rumble was excellent. It was one of the best ones definitely since I started watching again. And actually start to finish, it might be the best one because 2020, you know, the first half with Brock was just outstanding, but it kind of cooled off in the second half. This one was more, I mean, it didn't really cool off like that in the second half. They had stuff just going the whole time, and they had a lot of great spots just great individual performances. There were angles that took place and things that, you know, they could spin out of this into, you know, possible WrestleMania matches. So, I mean, they did everything that you would look from a Rumble match for me. And then, you know, the one, you know, surprise entrance was Booker, and that was really cool. He came in there and he did exactly what, you know, he needed to do. And this was the big boy Rumble too, because they had, man, and look, I'm biased towards larger wrestlers, bigger wrestlers, okay? I am. All right. And so for me, this was right in my wheelhouse because they had a lot of, like Vince would say, a whole lot of beef in the ring.
All
so
right.
Me, yeah, you can't get any. I mean, my only quibble was that the end with Cody and Gunther went a little long. For me, you know, they could have cut that down because, you know, when big man is tired, you either get him out quick or he recovers and he gets you. And
that's probably my largest complaint from the Rumble was the really? Whole Cody Gunther thing. It's just dumb to me. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go off now because I'm going to get started. I can feel it in my jellies. So the Money in the Bank thing, right? Generally more of a heel concept, right? When the face has to do it, they have to go about it a certain way so that everyone doesn't go, oh, that was cheap. I felt like this Cody coming in at 30 and beating and having Gunther last all the way from one as the Intercontinental Champion and get tossed out by the preordained guy who came in at 30 just didn't sit quite right with me because, and Rob is right, if it happened, it needed to happen. Bing, bang, boom. Cody gets in there. Gunther's out of breath. Boom, tossed him. Crossroads, toss him again. We're out of here. No, they had like an actual knockdown, drag-out fight. And yeah, Cody's got the stamina, but still, that the less sudden that it happens, the more absurd it seems, just in like kind of a Not in a realistic sense. Obviously, Cody should win that. He hasn't been in. Gunther was in the Rumble for 1 hour and 11 minutes. Obviously, the guy's exhausted. But you kind of take some of the magic out of it, and you let yourself think about it too much. And I'm prone to overthinking. But yeah, that was the one real fly in the ointment. I feel like Gunther could have been. If Gunther was second to last, it would have been fine. Or if Gunther came in third and lasted 1 hour and 11 minutes, that would have been fine too. It just that those singular events all lining up together just kind of went for me.
So. All right. That topic alone, Tony, where do you stand with that? And then we'll get your thoughts on everything else.
Well, it's intentional and it was well done. And it was a foreshadowing of the future of what you have when one Cody Rhodes and Gunther, who you talk about Money in the Bank. Gunther's going to win the Money in the Bank this year. That guy got the rub with DX. He is the longest lasting person in the Royal Rumble ever. And I thought he performed like a son of a bitch. Him and Sheamus out there, McIntyre. You know, you talk about your big man meets, Rob. You got Lesnar and Lashley and Strowman and Otis, and it was fucking fun to watch. I agree 100%. One of the best men's Royal Rumbles ever, the way they booked it. And you didn't need all those extra stars. And when you talk about how the show got booked, with what you did at the end, which we'll get to, right, and I'm not even going to start, but you needed Cody's win to be as far away from that as possible. And that's why that happened. Because... And him coming out 30, I don't know, maybe not, but him having the match with Gunther basically for 5, 6, 7 minutes there, that's why, you know. And it's weird. I don't know. It's going to be rough. Roman's got enough heat, I think, where Cody will be okay. You have to keep Sammy away from this title picture, unfortunately. I don't think they see him as a main event guy, and that's why he wasn't in the Rumble. But we'll get to that, and I loved it. I loved the whole thing. I'm a huge Royal Rumble nerd. If you only could have one thing to watch, I would watch that and not WrestleMania, unfortunately. But fortunately, I don't have to. So,
yeah, I agree. I, unlike Jason and Rob, I liked the additional, almost an entire match with Gunther and Cody. I think it showed a lot of heart on Gunther's part. I don't think it hurt him at all. I thought his performance in the Rumble in and of itself was incredible. No, we got.
I want to be clear, DJ. I don't think that hurt Gunther at all. I think it made Cody's win just kind of a little like.
Mm. No, I think Cody coming out at 30 did that.
I think.
Period.
Yeah, that too. Well, no. Then you put those two facts together. It's like, okay, man.
I can see where. I can see why you didn't like.
He bucks the whole tradition of him being born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Well, I mean. You reappeared from your injury on third base with a 10-foot lead.
Now, I'll say this. If they kept it as a surprise for him coming back, then coming out at 30 is right, is correct.
Yes, and I don't even think all things created equal. I'm having this discussion.
Right.
He's coming. And he comes out at 30 and he knocks over the guy that he's going to get one. You know what that means, though? You know what that means? Me and Rob are just printing the shirts, baby. We're printing the shirts.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Right. Tony, any last thoughts on that?
Hey, they're not chanting Walter anymore, so talk about that.
Remember when Gunther was going to ruin that guy and he was going to be...
That's a tribute to Gunther, to going out there and changing the narrative.
It is, and I think I've said this on this podcast before. I was a little worried about Walter / Gunther on the main roster. I'm no longer worried about that guy.
You know,
that guy's going to be just fine.
The only reason he doesn't win Money in the Bank is if he wins the Royal Rumble next year, because that could be a better story.
That could be.
Because to me, him winning Money in the Bank, I mean... Well, I mean, that's like when Brock won it. I mean, it's almost like trolling people.
That was fucking awesome. Boombox Brock. Fuck yeah.
Oh, I loved that. No, trust me. That's great.
That's one of those things where they stuck the landing with Boombox.
Yeah, Brock. But it's just.
Brock Lesnar, the guy who suggested Brock Lesnar winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, should have been laughed out of the room. Everything that happened after was magic.
Yeah. And
put it this way, though. Like, I think that's a part of Brock Lesnar that none of us knew. but they already knew that. It just never showed it to you on TV.
Yeah.
But I guess I was going to say that, like, you know, winning the briefcase kind of goes against Gunther's whole kind of vibe.
Yeah, respect the mat.
Whereas like, I mean, Brock is, Brock was a bully, so
I
Brock
hear
was
you.
A bully, so.
In thinking so through it, I think winning the Rumble next year is a better story. I think winning the Rumble next year is a better story.
Yeah, because with Brock, there's that aspect of, well, I'll just fucking take the briefcase, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it worked when he went out there at the end and won it. Whereas Gunther, it's not that same type of vibe.
All right. A couple of spots for me in there that I really popped for. I popped for Gargano teasing doing the 10 beats. And then Sheamus, like, getting right up on him and looking at him like, no, I'll take over from here.
Yeah.
That was just a silly thing that I popped for. That little thing that Woods and Kofi did.
Oh, yeah.
I laughed my ass off. Yeah, when they did the double ass bongo thing. Sorry. And that those guys are proof that you can do comedy and wrestling in small doses. And stuff like that I pop for.
Yeah.
Another thing that I'll say about, let's see here. Another great performance from one, Montez Ford.
Yeah. Montez looked really good.
Even he was what? He was in there for like 50 seconds and he was in there like a jumping beam.
Like I thought, right? I thought that would have been
He got tossed out by Ed. He got tossed out by Edge, but yeah. By Damian Priest.
And he got tossed out in front of Bianca's parents, too.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
What were you gonna say, Tony?
I thought that I was gonna see more of him in that, like, you know, a little bit of a run for him. But I think maybe they're waiting for next year. I guess, you know, it's a tribute to Angelo Dawkins getting into shape and better shape, I should say, and working on being a better worker in the ring, because those guys, they need to be first and foremost on the tag team list here.
And I think, you know, at some point we can all agree Montez, if nothing else, is in the on deck circle. You know, it's you can absolutely save him for another year or two. There's so many pieces on the board right now that Montez can kind of hover until they need him, and I think he's going to be fine.
And I know we've said it before, but I'll say it again. Doc, not only working himself into physical shape, but like
elevated himself
markedly
on all levels
as a wrestler. Even as like dummy me can sit here and tell you that he's gotten way better.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, good for that dude.
The other big thing I popped for, one was that, you know, people have been calling for surprises and a lot of people were disappointed because this one wasn't in there, that one wasn't in there. We didn't get Jay White. A lot of people worked themselves into a shoot over whether or not Jay White was going to be there. Logan Paul, who I thought was still injured, didn't realize he was healthy enough to compete in the Rumble, made an appearance and for me had spot of the night with that double clothesline with Ricochet.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to
show that for the rest of Royal Rumble history in all the clips of everything. That'll be shown every year for the rest of its existence.
Yeah. Yep. And see, that's the perfect place to do that.
Yes.
Because they did it. They landed in the ring.
Good call.
They didn't, you know, and, you know, they didn't do that and then both hop back up and then do like 50 other things afterwards.
Yeah. It was a contrived spot done well.
Right.
Because that's absolutely a contrived spot, but the way they pulled it off was just brilliant. And I popped for a double clothesline spot anyway. Like, that was one of my things. But when I wrestled, I would always try to find a way to work a double clothesline spot into a match just because I always thought it was cool.
Hogan Warrior.
Yeah.
Mania 6.
Hogan Warrior. Yeah. Hogan Warrior. I popped for that. And that was always my thing. So when they did that, I stood up and actually gave those guys applause. During that match, I thought it was great. I'm on with you guys. I really think, 2020 has a place in my heart, but this is probably the most fun I've had watching a Royal Rumble match in at least the 10 years since I've been watching again.
And then, you know, kudos to Brock Lesnar for the, you know, get in and get out and get paid.
But he made the, look at how much he milked in that 3 minutes, though.
He was in there 3 minutes, and he did more in that 3 minutes than people do who are in there like, you know, 10 times as long.
Yeah.
So and he went out setting up the angle for him and Bobby.
Yep.
And so that was perfect. And You know, Drew and Sheamus were both really good and really fun in there the whole time they were in there. You know, and then, you know, Edge coming out there when he did, and you know, we didn't expect Edge, you know, there was no announcement made about Edge, so he was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was just, like, they did all the things that you're supposed to, like, they had, you know, they had big spots, they set up things to go forward, they had, you know, and everything, they did everything you're supposed to do in a Rumble match, and there weren't any dead spots.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens sometimes. And
let me ask you guys something, and maybe this was just my observation. Usually in the Rumble, you know who the hot guys are or the hot girls, and then everybody else is filler. Did it seem to me that every single person in this Rumble at least had some manner of importance? Like, yes. Not that I felt like anybody could have won it, but usually you can tell this guy's coming out and he's absolutely getting tossed out at some point.
Well,
everybody went out there with some degree of importance. Either they were furthering an angle or they just went out there like a house of fire. Am I the only one who saw this? Kenny?
No, yeah, I saw it, and that is the opposite of the other Rumble tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a lot of you could see it. It was a tale of two Rumbles.
Right. Sonny, did you see that on your end?
It was all stars. I mean, it was all people who have done something, right? In some form or fashion, they've done something, right? I think the only one would maybe be Chad Gable. He hasn't won a title, but, like, Chad Gable is on fucking fire as far as the character goes right now. And that guy's money in the ring. So everybody else is, like, won a Money in the Bank or a tag title or a US or IC or wrestled for it, you know?
Yeah.
Also, not for nothing, unless I'm going down the list very quickly, unless I'm very mistaken, but by the color coding, I am not. There were only two people that were not regular members of the roster. There's Booker T and Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Anybody else? There was one more. Firmly a SmackDown. Who?
Was there one more?
Who?
No, I'm going to
Booker T's not technically active, I guess.
Well, right, that's what I mean. Like, Booker T and Logan Paul. Everybody else.
I've got the whole list of everybody that was on here, and those are the only guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Raw or SmackDown, like, superstar. Like, current, we see them on TV at least every other week.
Yeah, everybody else was absolutely in the match. The other thing that I popped for was, and I don't know if Cody's ever really used this in his normal matches, but he did the Shattered Dreams on Gunther in the corner.
I think that was a special thing for that.
I love that callback to Goldust. Anybody remember what Goldust used to call that move?
What, the kick in the nuts?
The kick in the nuts?
Shattered Dreams, right?
It used to be early on, it was called the Golden Globes.
Oh, I love that.
Oh,
I was thinking of, I was adding Edge to that list of people that aren't actually main roster people. Sorry.
Right. Is main roster, man. He's a Raw superstar again.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on here because I want to get in. This is something that I want to get Tony's opinion on first, because when I was on DWI, we kind of – you and I put this match over, and I want to see if it lived up to your expectations. Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair defending against Alexa Bliss. You specifically said you thought these girls were going to turn out and have a really, really good match. I thought they had a fine match. What are your thoughts, sir?
They weren't given enough time.
Okay. See, for me, I thought they had enough time. I didn't think they had good enough chemistry.
And there was two, you know, I don't know. I don't think they were given what they were expected, to be honest with you. I think they had some other plan. Plus, too much Uncle Howdy, man. Let's get it on. Let's get over. Let's get it moving here. Bray Wyatt, like, fucking... Get off the fucking slow gin and let's get on to the fucking whatever. I don't care. Whatever makes you move faster.
The problem with that, I agree with you, Tony, but the problem is whatever this ultimately capstones in, it's going to capstone at WrestleMania.
Well, do you guys believe the rumors that Bo Dallas is playing Uncle Howdy?
Is it Bo Dallas or is it Eric Young?
I think that one time it was Eric Young, but I heard Bo Dallas has been there the last few times and was at the Royal.
I heard that as well, but something's telling me it ain't going to be Bo Dallas. The problem that I have with the Uncle Howdy thing, and this match did, like we talked on the DWI, this match went like we thought. I called for a straight wrestling match with a clean finish, and then shenanigans at the end, which is kind of what we got. It wasn't really shenanigans. It was still more of a tease. Uncle Howdy getting in Alexa's head. The problem is Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy have largely been on SmackDown. Alexa's on Raw. This is where this leans into Jason's theory that we may be slow burning this all the way until WrestleMania, unless they're planning on running the Captain Howdy character on both brands, or they're planning on moving Alexa over to SmackDown in the near future. This is where they're really, I won't say they're losing me, because I want to see where it goes. I'm invested in that much. But this is where right now I'm kind of confused with the whole thing.
Well, if you're going to pay it off, you pay it off by bringing everyone together at some point at WrestleMania, one of the nights. What happens at the end of something is you get the Wyatt Six or whatever the fuck you want to call it, and you know, you bring them, give them some synergy.
Right. Okay. Yep. Rob, any thoughts on this match?
It was kind of there. I'm at the point now, okay, if they're not going to have a women's title match that actually has some suspense or has any real importance, then, because the last time a women's title match or Royal Rumble had any type of significance or whatever was 2019, is when you had Becky and Asuka and you had Sasha and Ronda. Since then, they've all been filler matches and like almost like who gives a shit matches. I mean,
yep.
The Rumble. Who gives a shit?
Well, but we had in the main event, we had an undisputed title match where we all know the title wasn't going to change, and yet they still made a thing out of that was worth having on a pay-per-view.
But that was because of the aftermath. It actually had very, because the match was, we're putting the cart before the horse here. Match was okay. By their standards, it was okay.
Sure, but we knew Kevin wasn't, when they did the last man standing match a couple of years ago, we knew Kevin wasn't going to win that either. But, but they still made it feel big and important while they were doing it. This was a lot. I saw some people saying they could have done this on Raw. I kind of felt the same way. The whole energy and the whole vibe was basically like, okay, we know Bianca ain't losing. All right. And even
with the antics after the match, yeah, you could have done that on Raw. It was a video package, man.
And for me, it's just also, it's that, again, because last year we had Becky and Doudrop, same thing. Foregone conclusion. And the crowd wasn't big on that one either while it was going on. And then
it's
the
a
year
good match though.
I mean, it was fine, but nobody cared because everybody knew how it was going. And then the year before that, you had Sasha and Carmella, and that was a good match too, but everybody knew how it was going. So they got it. I don't know. I mean, you need a bigger challenger or a better challenger, at least, because okay. Alexa is not that. She's okay. She's fine. Okay. She's been carried to better matches by people before. But I don't know, just to me, it was a waste of time. I mean, it was a waste of time. And, you know, it's one of those things. Was it bad? No. Will I ever watch it again? No.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was definitely, it was a Raw match. It could have been a Raw thing. I understand that it was more than a match. It wasn't even a match. It was just a segment where we further the Uncle Howdy story. But yeah, it was just kind of a waste of space. I don't know. All right. They could have got that point across better.
Tony, any final thoughts here?
Who do you guys put in the ring with Bianca at WrestleMania? Because she's not losing the belt before then. She's probably not even losing the belt then. I love the longer arcing storyline of Rhea and Bianca next year as opposed to this year, where, you know, whatever. But is it Nia Jax?
Nah. I'm telling you right now.
That's Hogan Andre right there.
We got to see what happens with
who else is there? Who else is there to challenge her at WrestleMania?
The lady who got beat on December 30th.
Rob seems to think Ronda Rousey.
Ronda and Shayna are going to be tagging up and taking on whoever.
Well, okay, we've talked ourselves into that, but we've told ourselves that.
Well, Becky and Bailey are going to have the cage match in WrestleMania, right? That we're not going to get till then. We'll get it teased one more time.
Put it this way, if Ronda,
who else is there?
Is Ronda, because as long as Ronda is there, hear me out.
Thank you. All right, go ahead.
Okay, if Ronda is there, she is still the biggest and most popular woman on that roster. People want to, as much as people hate to admit that, as much as they don't want to admit that, she is still the biggest name woman on that roster. She is still the most popular woman on that roster with the general public. If she is there, they are not going to stick her in the wacky tag team match. Okay?
That's the point. And so next year, you don't put the word wacky before the women's tag team match. That's the point.
But it's always the wacky. It's either, you know, they have the four-way tag team match, or they had that horrid gauntlet match from that one year. That was just terrible.
But that's the point he's trying to make. We've got to put those titles on some women that are going to legitimize them.
I mean, I hear
you. Put it on a legitimate challenge. Imagine you could get to next year to the point where Shayna and Ronda are challenged by the Iconics, or, you know, I'm just saying a team name, not Dippy and Doopy, and, you know, David and
Dippy and like
Bubba. I don't know.
Tony, that's officially our tag team name. If you and
yeah, Dippy and Doopy.
I just want everybody to know the last word of our tag team's name is never, so it's just not a tag team, really. I have no interest. Well, no interest.
The world's greatest tag team, never.
Yes.
But I'm calling it, you know, if she's there. Because we don't know how, and if she is there, we don't know how much longer she's going to be there after that, because nobody really knows. And, you know, and then this narrative that she doesn't really want to be there is like, if you actually listen to her talk about things, you would know that that's not true, people. But, you know, y'all don't like to listen to the people that actually talk. Y'all like to, you know, cook up your own shit, you know.
Ronda wasn't at the Royal Rumble. We're talking Royal Rumble. We're going to leave Ronda Ronda belongs. We've already spent more time talking about Bianca and Alexa than the match actually lasted.
I'm calling Ronda for Bianca. And as far as this match with Alexa, you know, never going to watch it again. You know.
Okay. All right. Well, let's stick with Uncle Howdy and go to the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. I think with this one, I'll go ahead and start this off and say it was fine. It was not great. It was not wonderful. Again, the after shenanigans made it a little bit more fun. I think people got their expectations for what they might do up a little too high for a product placement match. WWE is not going to go balls to the wall over something where Mountain Dew has hedged a whole bunch of money toward, you know, shoveled a whole bunch of money towards them for product placement. They're going to keep it pretty even-keeled and pretty on par. I think they did that with this. Again, we got more questions than we got answers as far as Captain Howdy goes. I flip-flopped on who I thought was going to win. I originally said LA Knight. Then I think on the DWI podcast, I said Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt ended up winning. Jason, any thoughts on the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match?
Oh, are you kidding me? I was drinking my Mountain Dew Pitch Black. I was having a grand old time.
Jason,
this is why we watch wrestling. This is why we watch wrestling, guys. It was 5 minutes and 5 seconds. The lights went off. Bray had all the weird UV makeup on, so he had the demon eyes that would all of a sudden show up under the UV light. It was all spooky and weird. It was a perfectly fine street fight match. You know, LA Knight and Bray are fine. You know, they just beat the crap out of each other, and it ended in a whole bunch of pyro. God bless America. Let's go. That might have been match of the night.
Okay, Tony. Tony has thoughts. I can tell.
I'll give you the quick version. I'll give you three things. If sponsors like this, mean more money in the pockets of the talent that go out there and train and dedicate their lives and put their bodies on the line for this, I'm all for it. It was the perfect amount of time. It looked pretty cool. It really did. I thought they did a good job with it. They didn't need any more. Maybe could have been a little bit longer with some kind of like a couple minutes of wrestling, but that's neither here nor there. And then, I mean, the last thing is I don't understand why it has to be great. You know what I mean? We all knew it wasn't going to be. What did I say? Friday, right? I was like, you know what? This is going to be, we're expecting it to be the drizzling shits, but it's going to be better than we think. And it was. It was better than we thought.
It was. I still think that that DP booked a better match as far as what was it. And you guys go back and listen to the DWI podcast from last week. DP's booking of that match was absolutely brilliant. Tony again has thoughts.
Fuck DP. You fucking send your fucking hate mail to @itsmeDPP. No, he knows I love him. The last thing, I kind of forgot the last point I wanted to make, but you want to know what? As far as Mountain Dew Pitch Black goes, go ahead and watch Cody Rhodes at the post-Royal Rumble press conference. Somebody's got to try it, right? Takes a drink, gives the fakest that's good ever, and never, ever puts it up to his lips again before he walks to the back.
Because he is a goddamn... He's the goddamn king of the carnies.
He is a worker, sir.
That man is running for office when he's done wrestling.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Please, you, Georgia Senate or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Herschel Walker can do it, you know.
I was going to say, if Herschel Walker can get a nomination.
Look, I'd vote for Cody before I vote for Herschel. Good God. Okay.
Robert, you got any thoughts on the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match?
I expected it to be absolutely terrible. I thought we were going to get a replay of the worms in the ring type of thing from WrestleMania.
That's funny.
Okay. I was expecting that. Okay. So they didn't do that. And 5 minutes was perfect. They got in, they got out. The post-match stuff, I was just like, what is this shit?
I can see it in my head. Exactly. Rob sitting there watching just literally when it starts. And I'm watching him as a fly on the wall. And go ahead, say it again, Rob.
Like, what is this shit?
Yeah, there. I just watched it happen. It's fucking amazing.
Meanwhile,
have you ever seen a fly laugh?
Tossed off a 20-foot barricade onto a pile of exploding cardboard boxes, and I'm just sitting there going, "Yay!"
Because, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
How zooted were you on that match, though, Jason?
I was pretty zooted, but we know that one of the laws of this show, at least when it comes to my viewing, the closer that wrestling gets to Mortal Kombat, the better of a time I'm going to have. So there you go. I was in my
Jason was in the bag for this one.
Well, I just I didn't know what when I say what is this shit. I mean, I don't mean that I don't even mean that as a disdain. I mean, I was literally like what the hell's going on?
What is
happening? Yeah. I didn't know. I was like, what is this? What are we doing? And I've said before, I'm the Uncle Howdy that ain't for me. I'm not going to shit on it because I know a lot of people are enjoying it or whatever. But this ain't for me. I'm just sitting here like what are we doing? Because yeah. I mean, I was happy when the match ended. I was like, okay, good. This was 5 minutes. They did what they needed to do. They didn't do a bunch of weird shit. And I knew they were going to do something kooky after the match was over. And it's just the thing that they did. I was just like, I don't know what is going on here.
Yeah. I think for me, the only thing is there are still now with Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt more questions than answers. Because for the longest time, they give you the impression that Uncle Howdy is pulling the strings. You know, it's Uncle Howdy's behind whatever's going on in Bray's head. Uncle Howdy comes out, hits the Sister Abigail on Bray. But then it looks like Saturday night, Bray Wyatt's calling the shots for Uncle Howdy to take the dive onto LA Knight. So, again, more questions than answers. Hopefully we start getting some answers because I think Tony said it best with the slow gin reference.
One thing that really hurts this for me is the fact that the damn character is named Uncle Howdy. Like, I can't say that without bursting into laughter. Okay.
I love it.
Like, Uncle Howdy. Like, it. what in the hell? Uncle Howdy.
Twisted Sister had a
hold on. That's
Uncle Howdy.
No, that's the same. You take one look at that dude in, like, the mannequin mask and the top hat and the whatever. That is absolutely a 2005 serial killer movie, and his name is, by God, Uncle Howdy.
Well, interestingly enough. Twisted Sister back in the 80s on their Stay Hungry album had a two-part song. It was called Uncle Howdy, or no, Captain Howdy, and Street Justice. And if you listen, it's funny because I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but if you listen to the story in the song, it's Nightmare on Elm Street. This guy's a child killer who kills these kids. The families of the kids get together, hunt this guy down, and like basically execute him. It's like the whole thing. He goes before a judge. They catch him. He goes before a judge. The judge lets him off. So the families of the kids. It's actually a really good story. It's a little dark. But then in the early 2000s, Dee Snider made a movie about it. I think it was called. It might have been called Strangeland. I'd have to look that up again. I'm not 100% sure on that. But again, it was based off of that Captain Howdy Street Justice song, and the character in the movie was Captain Howdy. And I don't, like I said, I'm spitballing and trying to connect some dots that probably aren't even in the same, you know, math page. But
got a news break before we go any further.
Breaking news here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, because we record when Dynamite is happening.
John Moxley is bleeding.
Oh. Sorry, I could have broke that one.
I just saw it on timeline.
It is. No. Rob, you have to put it in context. Because the kids
did he take an arm drag?
Wednesday, February 1st, it is 8:09 p.m. and John Moxley has been bleeding for 3 minutes.
And here we go. They caught Mox bleeding incredibly obviously. So another case of the camera catching... The guys digging themselves on live television.
All right, and we're moving on from that. We're not fucking talking AEW tonight. That's enough airtime for them tonight.
That's all.
8:09.
God, Jesus Christ. Anyway, moving on from the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
Yeah.
Let's get into the Women's Royal Rumble match. I enjoyed this one. I think you guys had some feelings about this. I thought it was a lot of fun. You know, a few surprises here and there. I thought one of the best surprises of the night was Michelle McCool coming up out of the crowd. She's sitting out there with her kids, and she even teased for a couple weeks. And I think we talked about this Friday night, Tunney, about her, you know, saying she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. And not only was she ready, but she looked pretty damn good Saturday night. She went out there. She was out there, at least a good 20, 25 minutes. It wasn't like she was in and out.
Yeah. I have no investment or care in the world, and I'm not saying that in a dismissive way, for Michelle McCool. I didn't watch her wrestle. I don't really care about the fact that she's Undertaker's wife. Like, good for them. Happy wife, happy life. Good for you guys. But she has no impact on my wrestling sphere whatsoever. And even I'll tell you, That chick selling it. No, I haven't got the call. No, not this year. No, sorry. Oh, well, yeah, I'm going to be there and, you know, just watching and blah, blah, blah. And then her music hits. She looks around, hops the barricade and starts tossing chicks in her Ugg boots. That was pretty freaking cool, man. And like I said, I got no investment in the girl. But right. Yeah, hell yeah. Good for her.
Jason, anything that really, really hit for you in this one?
I enjoyed, again, aside, we'll see what happens with Chelsea Green and Nia. But again, this is all current roster members. There are no fillers. There's no like, and really, I mean, most of these folks you can say are on TV every week or nearly every week. So once again, the Women's Rumble is looking markedly different than it did when I first went to the first one. Where half of them were surprised, you know, Lita and Trish and Jazz and this person and that person.
That's because of the significance of it being the first one. You want to get the legend in there.
But even still, they had
six surprise entrants, though. You had six surprise entrants. You had six surprise entrants in this in the Women's Royal Rumble. The three NXTs and the three free agents. I mean, that's a lot.
Right. It is a lot, but I'm not counting the NXT folks because, I mean, Roxanne, that was just a try. I mean, Zoe and Roxanne. And Indy has basically been main roster already, kind of. So, I don't know. But in any case, I'm saying it's everyone that's in the sphere on a roster. And it's not somebody who none of these people are sitting. It's like, oh, wow, I haven't seen this person in 3 months or something like that just because they aren't on TV. You know, I'm just saying, look at Rumbles of the years past and both the men's and the women's. That is not entirely the story. It's usually half and half or a little favoring, you know, the main roster. So it was pretty cool. It just shows how stacked both the men's and the women's WWE rosters are right now. Right. And then Piper Niven was my other big one.
Yeah, that was awesome to see her back, see her healthy, and see her back to the Piper Niven name. I never really breathed too heavy about Doudrop, but, I mean, it was what it was. But glad to see her back to being Piper Niven. Rob, any high spots, low spots here for you?
No high spots, really? That's kind of the problem.
No high spots? Are you kidding me? I've got a list.
Okay, for me... Okay, Nia Jax coming back. Okay, I agree with the crowd in the building that was quiet for most of the match.
Yeah.
That damn thing was dull as dishwater for most of it. Okay?
I didn't see that. I had fun with this.
I mean, there was one spot, the Nia Jax thing, where they all ganged up on her. The rest of the match, they were laying around for minutes.
You didn't pop when Xia Li and... what the hell is her name?
Zelina Vega
were on the outside with the little Mortal Kombat face off. You didn't pop for that?
No, Street Fighter.
Street Fighter. I'm sorry.
It was fine.
They used product placement and everything, man.
I won't tell the nerds, fine. DJ. Don't worry.
Don't tell the nerds I fucked that up.
don't tell the people who watched the show who paid a shit ton of money to get the name Street Fighter on there about 20 times and it still didn't work on you.
But you didn't pop for that, Rob?
No, it was fine.
No.
Rob hates women's wrestling. That's terrible.
Rob hates women's wrestling.
Don't aggregate. As Bill Simmons would say, don't aggregate this. Here comes the shoot bear.
I do not hate women's wrestling. You know what I do hate?
Women's
wrestling. I hate when something is dull as dishwater or when something is bland. And when the crowd clearly wasn't excited about it either, but now we want to give out participation trophies.
I even wrote Street Fighter on my notes.
Okay.
Because I got the reference at the time. Okay. I wrote it on my notes. I didn't say it.
I'm going to have to see a timed picture of that.
Okay.
This
was the participation trophy Women's Royal Rumble.
Oh, man. There's the shovel.
Okay. Okay, the people in the building didn't care. Okay, they cared about like six people. If the people, the people in the building didn't care. Okay, they didn't.
You're telling me 51,333 people didn't care?
Except for when it was quiet until Becky came out there. Then it was quiet until Oscar came out there. Then it was quiet until Nia Jax came out there. Okay.
He's not wrong. And the sound was much more steady for the men's rumble and louder across the board.
I was watching a wrestling match and not watching crowd reaction because I don't know.
But that's part of the rumble is the energy, and there wasn't any. And they were laying around. There were stretches where everybody was laying around, and. You know, where you talk about
and
we talk about, they didn't have many legends. They needed them in this match because there were 24 of the women in that match. The crowd didn't care about.
Okay.
And that's a problem. Like, yeah, you have women who can work matches. You have, you know, I mean, there were maybe what six or seven. There were six or seven women in that match that the crowd felt were important. And let me tell you who was in the match last year, okay? Who was not there this year, okay? Okay. And there are two in particular who this match really could have used. And they're the two women who left last May. Okay. Sasha Banks and Naomi. This match needed them. Okay. There would have been a ton more energy. There would have been a lot better spots.
Whose fault is that, Rob? Rob, whose fault is that Naomi and Sasha Banks weren't at the Royal Rumble? Whose fault
Vince
do you
for
think
booking
that is?
Bullshit?
Whose fault do you think this year Sasha Banks and Naomi not being at the Royal Rumble? Whose fault is that? It's theirs.
Okay, well,
it's not anybody else's fault this year. It's theirs. Okay, but that was the best women's Royal Rumble ever, and it was better than the men's, and the finish was phenomenal. Period.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I don't know what you watched. I don't know what you watched. No. Rob, were you watching Double or Nothing or what the fuck? I mean, I don't know what you were watching, bro, but you're crazy. I'm not working you at all. That's my honest-to-God opinion of the Women's Royal Rumble. I couldn't disagree with you more.
Okay, well, no. Okay, it didn't suck, but it was dull as dishwater.
Now you've changed your opinion already, and I've only talked for 15 seconds.
Okay, well, all right. Well, listen. This match needed
next
stars.
Next week, I'm feeling better about next week already, let me tell you.
Okay. This match needed stars. It didn't have many. It had a few. One of them, and look, yes, this, and because, no, see, I'm, and I can't believe this. I'm putting on a cape for Mercedes Bernardo, okay, who I've had a very back and forth, up and down, complicated relationship with as a fan, okay. But that match absolutely needed her. And yeah, you can say, well, it's her fault she walked out. But guess what? The match suffered by her not being in there. The match suffered by Naomi not being in there. You needed people in there who the crowd cared about, who could turn up the energy, who could do some more cool spots. You needed people like that in that match, and they were not in there, and the match suffered. That match was dull as dishwater until Nia Jax came out there, basically. Okay? And it was. Sorry. And I talk about grading. Sometimes we grade the women on a curve. We do. Okay. And can you compare that match to the men's rumble? That men's rumble had energy from start to finish. They did a whole lot of everybody in the men's match felt important. This match had like at least 20 women in there who, even if they're on TV, it's just like, yeah, whatever. Okay.
That much I do agree with. A lot of women there that you knew absolutely weren't going to have big moments. Tony, seriously,
they don't have that many women on the roster, though. Like, do you really think Mickie James is going to win the fucking Royal Rumble when she comes back? You're more likely to see Piper Niven or Tamina or fucking whoever win the Royal Rumble than any of those outside people you guys are longing for to have in this match. This whole show is about the people they have on their roster right now. That's what Hunter's about. Right.
Let's play along. The crowd was not into that match. Whose fault is that really? Is that the women or is that the booking that hasn't really given the women enough to sink their teeth into for that crowd to connect with them in a way that would have heated that up? Because there was some very good spots in there. Zoe Stark went out there in her first Royal Rumble and worked her ass off. Roxanne Perez looked like a fucking megastar going out there. Indy Hartwell, I've been singing Indy's praises for weeks on this show. She looked like she belonged. NXT girls looked like they belonged.
Answer this question, though, DJ. Do you know anything walking out of that Rumble about those three girls that you didn't know before?
You didn't have to. That was just their introduction.
You know that they can compete on the main roster. You didn't know that before then.
All right.
That's
the whole progression of the entire company.
They didn't look out of place being there. Sometimes these girls come up from the NXT and they very much look out of place. Like they're out there. Like they had, as much as I love her, she's a local talent. They had Santana Garrett in there a year or two ago. And Santana Garrett looked like a fish out of water. And Santana Garrett's got a history behind her. She's not a ring newbie. She's a ring veteran.
Look at Kylie Ray.
She went out there and looked absolutely lost.
Look at Kylie Ray. They passed on Kylie Ray, and she's one of the best people that doesn't have a contract in the entire world as a women's professional wrestler.
Right.
Well, it's because the last couple times she's had it.
So
the story
out of Zoe Stark, Roxanne Perez, and Indy Hartwell is that they could bring any one of those three or all three of them up tomorrow and plug them right in anywhere.
I don't want to sit here and bury the Women's Royal Rumble because, I mean, I already feel like I buried the men's with how I felt about Cody and Gunther being the last two. And I led with that, and I shouldn't have, because it really was a well-constructed Rumble. And to Rob's point, it went from spot to spot to spot, and then not necessarily a move spot, but like, hey, now we're going to focus on, you know, Johnny and this person. Now we're going to focus on Kofi and Xavier and see what they get up to. You know, now we're going to – and then you just go down the list. Okay. And I put it this way, in just in terms of trying to put into words what Rob's saying about the whole list and what the people you needed in there. If you – I'm sure we have it all open in front of us because we're all very attentive and good people. And we have the list of people who's in the Rumble. And I'm going down the list of the men's Rumble, and I'm just asking myself, could I see that in a – two-title world, obviously not the Universal Championship from Roman Reigns after a 1,000-day rule, but just in a world where there's two world championships like there is for the women, could I see these gentlemen winning one of those world titles in the next calendar year? And now I'm not saying yes to most people, but I'm saying yes a whole hell of a lot more than I am going down the list of folks in the Women's Rumble.
How many men are employed talent in WWE, and how many women are employed talent in WWE?
The only unemployed talent.
No.
It's probably a 2-to-1 ratio.
I mean the male to women ratio.
That's what I didn't want to get into. Okay, we're not gonna get into
I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm saying the reason you don't have that number of quality people in your mind is because the roster isn't as big or showcased as much as the men.
Well, right, and that's correct. And that's just an encompassment of the whole thing. And we're going to get there in like 5 or 10 years, guys. I promise.
Probably not.
I don't want to get into shave 10 minutes there, get 10 minutes more for these women. Well, if you got to do this, I'm not solving the women's wrestling crisis in one night. I'm just telling you that Rumble was a little flat.
I didn't like it as much as the men's, but I had fun with it. I really thought there were a lot of fun spots. I thought most of the stuff they did with Asuka was important. I liked seeing Tamina and Piper Niven face off. There were, again, we're talking about just, there were little moments that I plucked out of there that I enjoyed. Were there as many as the men? Absolutely not.
Can we all agree, though, that the finish on the apron, all three of them, was pretty cool. That was one of the most, like, you can even include all the men's rumbles. Every Royal Rumble ever, men or women, that's one of the coolest finishes, in my opinion.
That is only second to Bianca and Rhea from, what was it, last year or the year before, where they both went over and they're both sitting on the apron and they're both, Rhea's like, okay, let's calm down.
Everybody calm down.
Maybe that's a Rhea thing, too.
I'll tell you guys right away, that from the final four to the end of that Royal Rumble is the best finish to almost any match I've ever seen ever.
Right.
I will always give those four women their flowers.
But to Patani's point, the finish to the women's match was better than the men's. And I say that with no hyperbole.
I'll agree there. They're both great. But here's the thing. This speaks to, we could do a whole episode about the women's roster and, I mean, some of this is just the fact that professional wrestling is predisposed kind of for the men's stuff to get better received than the women's stuff. Yeah. And having this, the women's roster is as big as it is as big as it's ever been. And yet, again, yeah, I've been doing my thing, looking at the numbers and everything. When you get past a certain level, to be honest with you, even the women who are good, when you get past a certain, there's a drop off point to which the audience just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you solve that, because making them care about woman number 17 and woman number 18, I don't know how you do that.
We've said that on this show before. The fans have to give a damn, because Yeah, you can argue, okay, on Monday Night Raw 2 weeks ago, there was one woman segment that was 5 minutes long, and that was it. If fans aren't investing in it, they're not going to put it on TV.
I'll tell you how you make those women in that place in the roster, right? On that part of the depth chart. You want to know how you make those women more important? You have Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey come in and elevate the tag team division.
I think that's fair. We've been talking about that. The women need something at the mid-card level. They're not going to implement a women's mid-card title. Let that
unless they
tag team championship.
I mean, in all honesty, they should unify the women's championship, pay more attention to the tag team titles in that division, and then go ahead and have a women's television title, which you can defend on any brand. You have to defend it once a week. That's a lot of cross-synergy there for the women. That's huge.
Yeah. I wish they would start doing something because they really have some incredible women on the roster. And they've got some really, really good women down at NXT that are going to be the next generation of talent.
And, well, put it this way. I think when some of those women come up, and look, well, all right, I'm just going to be blunt. There's some women on the main roster right now that, quite frankly, need to be replaced. Okay. And I think they will be replaced by some of the girls down in 2.0 and eventually. And that's just what it is. Because, I mean, they got, the roster is as big as it's ever been, but you got people like Aaliyah on the roster, and Aaliyah stinks. Okay. She should not be on television for the biggest, best wrestling company in the world. She should not be wrestling on television. Okay. And that's part of the problem. Is that you got people like Aaliyah, the worst man in the men's rumble was probably Almost, okay?
Yeah.
But you got to go all the way down to 30 to get to him. I mean, we go down on the women's roster, you go down, you don't go as far as 30 to get to somebody who's bad.
People that jettison and...
You hit bad a lot sooner on the women's roster than you do on the men's roster.
B-Fab came in at 7.
So. B-Fab stinks. And Aaliyah stinks. We like Xia Li.
No. Aaliyah stinks as a wrestler, like Graps.
Yeah.
She is excellent at everything else. That's why she still has a job.
But when the bell rings, she stinks. And
don't ask her to get in the ring much.
We like Xia Li. They don't trust her to be in the ring for more than 2 minutes on television after 3 years. So what are we doing?
Yeah.
Some of those got to be, when some of those women, they're not good. And they can't get on TV very long on the main roster because they're not very good. And therefore, it's hard for them to get over with the audience, or for the audience to feel like they're important because they're barely on TV, but they're barely on TV because they're not very good. And as long as you have, they got way too many of those. And again, some of the girls from 2.0 will eventually replace them. And then the overall women's wrestling product will be better. But right now it isn't.
After WrestleMania is going to be very interesting. At Titan Towers and over in Orlando, as I have a feeling we're going to see a seismic shift in some talent. We're going to see some people get called up. We're going to see some people get future endeavored. And hate to see it. You hate to call that. But the reality is, after Mania season is when they start reevaluating, all right, who are we keeping? Who are we letting go?
And some people are just, look, Tegan Nox is a fine wrestler. Tegan Nox is dull as dishwater.
And for as much as we may joke about her, Chelsea Green may have more value. Chelsea Green's a hell of a worker. Chelsea Green can do the character work. She, just don't use her ideas. Give her something to do, and she'll knock it out of the park, I think.
Chelsea Green has given me no reason at all. And in fact, she's given me reasons to dislike her personally. Okay? Yeah. She's excellent. She's pretty darn good in the ring. And if I had to make the choice, I'd I'd probably go with Chelsea Green before I went with a lot of other people.
Like, yeah.
Just because, you know?
And that's weird because put it like this. In 2016, after the brand split just started, they had six women on SmackDown, and that division had more fire and more energy with six women than both of those divisions now have, with each of them have a dozen. Okay. So adding more has not made it better. Okay. At least, and not right now, it's not. Yeah, I mean, it was better. And I'm not saying they should cut it down to six again. But right now, for the volume that they have, there's a lot there that either are not very good, or they're just kind of, they haven't shown any inkling of demonstrating any type of energy or personality or anything. And yeah, it hurts the overall. That's why the crowd is dead for most of that match, because there are a bunch of women in that match that, and yes, booking matters, but I mean, there are people in that match that, I mean, they just don't care about. And so to get them to care about woman 17, 18, 19, you got to get, you know, woman 17, 18, and 19 they either need to be better in the ring than woman 17 through 19 are right now, or they need to be better at doing character stuff or something. It's just, you got a lot now where, because either they're not very good in the ring, I mean, or, you know, Lacey Evans is, I know we said, you know, house shows, she's done really well. When there's a TV camera on, she ain't. Okay?
For whatever reason. You better get used to it, Bubba. I think Lacey Evans has a job for life.
Oh, yeah, apparently so. But that's part of the problem.
She's okay? She's gone.
That's part of the problem is that they keep giving her restarts and new characters.
Nah.
And restart.
She needs to go back to her original gimmick. She's never been hotter than then, and she's on her way out right now. I'll tell you that if something doesn't change.
Yeah, 100%. I like Belle.
She may be gone before WrestleMania.
I mean, it's like you got, again, I mean, they have, you know, like I said, you know,
all right.
It's not doom and gloom. They lost Naomi and Sasha. They're going to be fine, guys.
We don't have to keep beating this.
Rob, it's still the best women's division in the entire world.
But say it again?
It's still the best women's division in the entire world.
I'm in the top half of it, sure.
What are you going to have? Let's have 500 Hulk Hogan's. We have the best roster ever. It's all John Cena, The Rock, and Hulk Hogan. Who loses? Nobody. Everybody loses. Everybody loses when you have top five talent down the whole fucking line.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. That was the wrong way to put it.
Rob, just put the shovel down.
Put
the shovel down, please.
Okay, I'm going to close with this. Okay, to close with this. The crowd reaction to the match is absolutely an indication and a consequence of the makeup of the roster.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
I'm going to plant my flag and say that the wind was taken out of that crowd from the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match, and they were still trying to recover. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
The Mountain Dew Pitch Black match ended with an explosion. I don't care what it was. Send it home happy, man.
All right. Before we get into the main event, I want to encourage you to go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Valentine's Day is coming up. We are on the road to WrestleMania. You want to get yourself the shirt. You want to represent the brand, The Chair Shot. There's a bunch of different shirts there. All the podcasts are represented. Go over there. You've been listening to us in your ears for 2 years. Now you can wear us on your body. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast has an official t-shirt there. Again, that is ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Go get your official Chair Shot merch there.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And let's get into the main event here, guys, because I think we've got a little bit to talk about here. We talked about this on the DWI, and I had my own feelings about why Kevin Owens should be going against Roman Reigns again after taking just ass-whipping after ass-whipping after ass-whipping a couple of years ago. And, you know, the guys on that show put it into better context. This really wasn't about Roman and Kevin. Kevin was like the side character in the Sami Zayn Bloodline story. And we got the culmination of that on Saturday night. I don't really have a whole lot to say about the match itself. The match was fine. It was not the best match the two of them have had. There were some good spots in there. There was definitely some good work. And, you know, the end was fantastic.
The end of the match.
Everything that happened after the match, we're probably going to talk a bit more than the match itself, because the match itself was just kind of a vehicle to get to that point. So, Tony, let's start with you. Right now, just the match. Overall, when you pair this outing up with their previous matches, where does this rank with you?
See, to me, that's insignificant, because it wasn't supposed to be the best match they ever had. It wasn't about that. The match was exactly what it was supposed to be for what they were doing. And if you don't think this is one of the best storylines in professional wrestling history, then I don't know what else to talk to you about.
Yeah. So there's a whole discussion we can have at the tail end about that, because some people absolutely don't feel like it is.
But I feel like the match was... they intentionally did not go out and have their best match ever. I don't think that's not what they needed. Roman had to do what he had to do. Anytime you have Paul and Sammy ringside, I mean, come on, how can you lose? I mean, it could be me and DP out there, the Never Twins, you know, and Paul and Sammy would get us over somehow. But you had Roman and KO, and good match, not great.
Okay. Jason, just the match, what'd you think before we get into the
match was fine. I mean, it was, I think it was better than you guys are letting on. It was still there. It was still Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns putting on a main event in a big four pay-per-view. They still brought it. And I'm sorry, this might color things, but was the stair spot after the match, or was that how did he do that before the big finish?
That was before the big finish.
Yeah. Okay, so that stair spot was one of the best things I've ever seen.
That was Moses. That was the igniter to Sammy.
Without Kevin Owens having still not knowing how to speak today. So kudos to that. But holy Moses, that was brutal. And the savagery of the tribal chief was on full display, because he does not like that Kevin Owens individual.
He does not. What were you going to say, Tony?
No, I was just riffing with Jason. He's making great points.
Yeah, I'm with Jason. When Kevin took that first bump on the stamps, I'm like, how did he not? Like, this is professionals at work, man. This is guys who are at the top of their craft, suspending my disbelief. And I've been in the ring.
You know, I would never in a million years, hey, DJ, we want you to do this spot. No, thanks. I'm good. Find something else. I wouldn't have done it. I couldn't have pulled it off. So this is absolutely two masters doing this. And I was in awe of little things that they did. It's new. I look for nuance in matches. And that was just a nuance that I was like, holy shit, how is he not dead? How is he not bleeding like a sieve?
In seriousness, did he get him just high enough, like on his shoulders, that it wasn't actually hitting his head?
It's probably just a tucked chin with a flat back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's probably what I'm
saying.
I'm not going to say he actually hurt afterwards.
I would like to go back and watch if he's slapping the outside of the stairs on the non-camera side.
Oh, I bet he is.
Possibly.
But even still. But yeah, the whole match, it was very, very brutal.
Yeah, it was violent.
It was exactly what we wanted. We had the nut shot to the ref. Oh, the ref got knocked out, and Kevin hit him with a pop-up powerbomb for a count of, what, 8, I think?
Yeah.
Never mind knowing that Roman Reigns is the smartest individual and the most tactical wrestler on the planet, and he knows that the ref is out. So why would I bother trying to expend any effort at all to get this 250-pound individual off of me? Why would I expend any effort in the middle of our 20-minute wrestling match? Nothing's going to happen to me because that guy's unconscious. So yeah, I'm just going to sit here.
Robert, any thoughts?
Yes. Well, for me, I actually liked it better than the previous matches because it was shorter and they didn't do too much. We didn't have...
Didn't botch the finish either.
Oh, yeah, and that too. So
the handcuff thing?
Yeah. So personally, I'll probably watch this match back before I watch the other matches they've had because those other matches were too long and they were doing too much for me.
I've watched the Falls Count Anywhere about probably 5 times, and I don't rewatch matches simply because, this match had no shot. No shot of being better than any of Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns' previous matches because I didn't see a golf cart anywhere.
Yeah.
I liked this one better. I mean, if we're doing like the star rating thing, I won't say it was better like from that aspect, but I'll probably watch this again before the other one because it's shorter.
Like Roman and KO because they bring the right amount of violence. I kind of side with Rob. I think you can get a little excessive with violence in matches. And I think once you get past the 20-minute mark in any type of no holds barred encounter, I think you've just about exhausted the clip. And this match was the right amount of violence in the right amount of time.
Because if you get past 20 minutes.
It was 19 minutes and 15 seconds, according to that.
Yes, that's perfect. Because
Rob's limit is 20.
Well, because when you're doing like no DQ, well, this wasn't a no DQ match. No. But those other matches they had were like no DQ and all of that, and they went past 20 minutes, and it gets to the point where you're just doing shit to do it.
Yeah.
And so they got they got home here before they got to that point. So.
All right. Well, let's talk about that unappreciative Sami Zayn. After everything that Roman did for him, accepted him into the family, made his cousins care for him, made his cousins love him, made Paul care about Sami Zayn, for Sami Zayn to do what he did and turn on Roman Reigns, absolutely dastardly on Sami Zayn's part.
Burying the lead, he brainwashed poor Jey Uso into sticking his neck out in front of the tribal chief just to save Sammy's skinny behind. And this is how Sammy repays him? By attacking the tribal chief?
I think Paul Heyman was onto something. I think this has been a conspiracy. Sami Zayn is the conspiracy theorist.
And let me tell you.
And now he's this conspirator.
Let me tell you, okay? I finally found somebody who is a more dastardly individual than that damn superhero lady. And that is Sami Zayn, okay?
Yeah, this was a long con, man. Yeah,
exactly. Mr. Tunney, any thoughts on the dastardly Sami Zayn?
I'm not sure how I'm supposed to play into this, but
you can play it any way you want. We are very firmly over here.
I don't. This became a candidate for one of the best storylines ever and became one of the best pay-per-views ever when Jay walked out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, you'll never hear, you only will hear a handful of times in history and probably a handful of times moving forward, the reaction 50,000 people give when someone does something in a storyline that changes its arc. And that's when Sammy hit Roman with the chair.
Yeah. And for me, they got me with Jay because, again, Sammy hitting Roman. And again, this has been a masterclass in wrestling storytelling from just
look at what Jimmy did. Jimmy goes, I'm your bro. He's not your brother. I'm your brother. And then goes, he's not your brother. We're your brothers.
Well, and that's great because it wraps back around to how bad Roman gaslit and abused Jay, 2.5 years ago?
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is the company that, quote unquote, doesn't honor long-term storytelling, and they're giving you the most masterful long-term story that we've seen in probably since Hogan and Savage.
Well, not for nothing. So two of the great points that one had to be pointed out to me, I think one we saw right away, how the chair shot happened with, you know, Roman falls forward to his knees, falls forward, bounces his chest off the ropes, just like when Seth stabbed him in the back with that chair all those years ago. And then also, you notice, someone pointed this out, now I can't get it out of my head. You notice when he really starts beating the bag out of Sammy, and then the crowd really starts booing. All of a sudden, he snaps up and he starts just looking like emotional. Like, first it's angry, then it's emotional, then it's angry again. Because he's leaving another Royal Rumble to booze. And he's traumatized by that experience like 7 years ago?
When it was 2016 or 2015. Thought it was 15. Yeah,
so. I think...
might have been 15. Yes, because my first Royal Rumble, my first pay-per-view in 15 was SummerSlam. So, yeah.
It was 2015 Royal Rumble.
It was 2015 Royal Rumble. So, yeah, he's leaving the Royal Rumble, and you can tell that bothers him. Like, there's parallels and all this good stuff. So, yeah, literally everyone, including, like, Solo Sikoa, is just nailing this thing.
Rob, any thoughts?
It stinks. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Okay.
Did it stink worse than the Women's Rumble?
Well, everything.
Oh, boy.
Like on a scale of steaming pile to Women's Royal Rumble, where does this match rank for you, Rob?
Oh, man. I'm going to get in trouble. I know I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
That
went on.
So, anyway.
Okay. For me, this is the best storyline ever. Because, for one, it's been going on for almost 3 years. To have a 3-year storyline, an actual story, by the way, not never ending feud, right? Because I've mentioned that before. There have been never ending feuds where they just keep fighting each other for years and years and years. This is an actual story. And you have, 6-7 characters who are all doing something important, like Roman, Jimmy, Jay, Solo, Amy, Kevin, Paul. Like, they've all got they've all played a significant role in this arc of the story. And, you know, Jay has been an important part of the story from the beginning. Paul has been an important part of the story from the beginning. Jimmy came in a little bit later, but he's been important in his own way ever since. Various opponents who have been brought into their orbit for, you know, a time, became played their part. They, you know, people who have, you know, we talk about elevating people, and I'm not a big fan of that word, as y'all know, but they've put people in position to take advantage of, they put people in position to take advantage of an opportunity to elevate themselves. And that's, I mean, you can go as far as Cesaro. Cesaro did not have, there'd never been a pay-per-view main event, and he got one because of the storyline.
Yeah.
So even things like that, right? I mean,
and he's better off in AEW because of it.
Yes. And so that, I mean, all that's been going on, more people care about Sami Zayn now than at any point during his career. Kevin Owens is coming in and out, and he's kind of just kind of the perfect kind of antagonist to bring in and out for, during the story. Drew McIntyre got the biggest match of his career in the castle and, out of this. We got a War Games match out of this. Solo Sikoa got pulled out of NXT Purgatory because of this. It's done so much for so many different... We got Cowboy Brock out of this, right? I mean, which nobody was expecting, right? Bobby Lashley won the world title because of this storyline. Well, he won the second time anyway.
I still want to see Brock Lesnar carry Sami Zayn to Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, think about all of these things, all of these people that have been pulled into the storyline that have gotten something out of it. Finn Balor got a pay-per-view main event out of it. And because of this storyline, Randy Orton would have gotten another main event had he not had the back injury. Matt Riddle got a TV main event and got a, so think of all the people who've been pulled in at different points in the storyline that have gotten the biggest opportunities of their career. Think of Jey Uso got a pay-per-view main event, which was unheard of in 2020.
I think it's important to note that a lot of the guys you're mentioning, like Matt Riddle in the weird months and whatnot, they could have easily been filler, and they were not. Yeah. Anything that was, Roman wasn't always in a feud. He wrestled sparingly-ish. But when he was, anything he touched, and I hate saying this because I'm the guy's biggest fan, but anything he touched was like, no, we're doing this the right way or we're not doing it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every title offense has felt important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone that has gotten personal at some level. It's not just, I'm going to stop you from being the big bully around here.
Yeah. And, so this storyline has done more for more people than anything ever, any storyline ever, because when you think about the great feuds or great storylines that people talk about, Austin McMahon mainly did something for Steve Austin and Vince McMahon. And maybe, Mick Foley, right? But not.
They brought The Rock into that once they went with the corporate ministry and the corporation and everything.
That's still four people, right? We're not a dozen. We're talking a dozen people or more that have gotten, some big opportunity out of this. The NWO was largely people who didn't need opportunities because they already had a million of them.
Yeah.
Right. The Mega Powers was two people, was Hogan and Savage. Right. Just thinking about, Dusty and Rick were Dusty and Rick, and then, Arn and Tully got something out of it. Right. And a few other people. But, this is it. And it's gone on for 3 years. Some people think it might be coming to an end. I would tell you, don't bet the house on that. Because we're at that point now where you're debating, art versus commerce, and, commerce usually wins.
Let me throw something around here. Tony, I'm going to ask you first, and I'm probably going to get a little controversial here, just a little. Right now, we're comparing Roman Reigns' run because he's coming up on 1,000 days, and there's some thought, some talk that he may eventually overcome Hulk Hogan's title reign, the length of time with his title reign. When we think of the way that this story has been woven, and we look at this complete reign by Total Reigns, or by Roman Reigns, and we compare it to Hogan's first run, Hogan's run was just, we went from one feud to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and for 3 years. From a overall standpoint, do you think that Roman's run for you personally, was better than the original Hulkamania run? Or do you think that Hulkamania's original run is still more important? Because I look at from the storytelling standpoint, and I can't talk tonight, I'm enjoying Roman's better.
Albert Pujols could never be as important as Babe Ruth, right? But you can compare their statistics. They're both apples, but one's a Macintosh and one's a Red Delicious. So are we really still comparing the same apple? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can hate. Jason hates my choices of apples, I think.
Red Delicious is the best.
Granny Smith and.
I like
the honey.
I was pantomiming it.
I just thought that was funny. So, I don't have any more Apple names, so I guess I'll get back to wrestling. But I told Greg I don't think he's gonna pass it. He's gonna lose here. The guy is still recovering from leukemia. He needs a break at some point. And Hogan never defended his title that much either back when he had it either. So, I mean, you know, you can't book everybody every day. You get sick of them with this long of a reign. And honestly, as far as people who they've helped out and rivalry along the way, give me the story. I don't really care. We already talked about they give you an opportunity to get yourself over. It's not the champ's job. Do your work, right?
He's already the champ.
Yeah, but it's been great in every one of those aspects. It's been great in every one of those runs. 100.
All right, Jason, what do you think?
Well, I just have a quick question. I know we're stuck on the 1,000-day things. That's definitely happening. How long is Hogan? Is that like 1,100 days?
Roman would have to hold it until, I think, next WrestleMania. Greg did the math.
It's like
I think
20,
it's actually
25.
Next WrestleMania.
Through next WrestleMania?
Yeah, or he'd have to win. He'd have to win at that and keep going.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think they care anymore. Happening. I don't think they care anymore. That's... Yeah.
I think they want to sell the 1,000-day T-shirts and whatnot, and now he's definitely in the conversation in 60 years when you say, oh, Dewey and Dippy are going for the Unified Universal Championship. That was once held by Roman Reigns for 1,000 days, you know.
He's got to win to get to 1,000, right? I don't think he does.
Yeah, I think Rob and I both – our line in the sand is 1,000 days, but Rob and I both admit 1,001 – we are on the clock.
Let me tell you this.
Could be any time.
I think any thoughts that they had to push this to that point so they could make money on selling T-shirts disappeared because they just sold a bazillion honorary Oos shirts they never thought they were. So they can do whatever they want from now on. That's what I think.
Yeah, but how many honorary Oos plaques did you sell? How many honorary Oos title belts did you sell? How many honorary Oos bobbleheads did you sell?
You can still do that whether the numbers starts with a 9 or a 1.
No, you can't. I'm not buying something to celebrate.
You're not buying it either way.
I mean, maybe.
You're not buying it either way.
No.
None of us are. None of us are buying that.
This is 979?
Oh, that is not true, sir.
Well, right.
Trust me.
But they sell them, so somebody friggin' does.
Look, when
so if they look, get out of here with that.
If he gets to 1,000 right, days, I'm buying the red and the black, okay?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Right, look, I mean, and I guess you're supposed to get to me next, right?
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because I think they were different things with different purposes. The Hogan run was mainly to establish the company as a national, you know, as a national wrestling company, and to stomp out the competition, and so that had just a different purpose. And so I think for what it was, you know, that you know, Hogan's first reign was, you know, it was what it was for. And so he had a few. Now I'd say his individual feuds, Hogan's best individual feuds, I would say, are better than the feuds in this reign. Rowdy Piper, Paul Orndorff, Andre. I think, you know, those in particular are, but the overall story of the reign, I think this takes it. Because, look, you're not going to have anything like Piper basically saying, you know, fuck you, you're not going to bury me. So if I got to halfway shoot on you in the ring to keep you off of me, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't care. At, towards the end of that reign, of Hogan's reign, did they ever reference back to something that happened a year ago?
Well, they, well, during the, like, look, the Orndorff thing was always brought up because that was one of the biggest feuds ever.
Yeah.
And Hogan and Roddy Piper and Hogan and Andre. Yes.
Well, and the beauty of Hogan and Orndorff was...
No, I mean as a means of furthering the story or the rivalment. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, we talk about it. I still talk about Kevin Owens hitting Roman Reigns with a golf cart.
Well, when he... When
other
he
way around.
No, they called back... Yeah, they called back to Andre all the time to WrestleMania 3. They called back to that all the time.
Well, because that WrestleMania 3 was the launching pad.
Still call back to that.
You have to call back to it's in the goddamn intro. Then, now, forever. Hogan slamming Andre's word starts.
And somewhat on a level playing field where we can talk about them the same. Yeah, obviously, Hogan slamming Andre being in that run is like, okay, well, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But in the overall interconnected storytelling, I would wager, has been stronger in the Bloodline story than it has with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. From as far as from week to week narrative, because look, there were some feuds in there with Hogan with Killer Khan and and Sika when he was me and DJ's age. Okay. Right. There was a lot of that going on. All right. And but so I mean there were a lot of filler feuds in Hogan's reign. And not like I don't think I'd call the Cesaro thing a filler match.
Yeah, I was going to say, there have been filler matches.
It's a different time. It's hard to compare. There's TV now. There wasn't TV then. There wasn't 12 fucking pay-per-views a year. There was 4.
Right.
It's a different animal. It's 100%. It's 100%.
Yeah.
In fact, it's not like comparing different types of apples. It's like comparing apples being grown in the 80s. To apples being grown now in the 2020s. It's a completely different process.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That's true. Because, I mean, look, and honestly, they didn't even have 4 pay-per-views until, like 88. So for the first...
Yeah, it was WrestleMania, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, so for, the first year or two of Hogan's reign, the first year was 84, and there were no pay-per-views. It was all house shows.
But, answer the question. No, he's not
entirely different animal, but...
Stop that.
Yeah. I mean, week to week. Jeez. I mean, week to week, this is better. Hogan's highest points, I'd say, are better.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we call the golden spot there, guys? I think we had a good, solid show. I know we are on the road to WrestleMania. There was a lot coming out of Royal Rumble that we could talk about, but we'd probably go another hour. And, I don't think we want to get that deep into the woods tonight.
No.
Next week, we're going to talk about the ramifications of Royal Rumble. We are heading into the Elimination Chamber. Got a lot going on to talk about with that. And as we head on down the road to WrestleMania, we're going to pick up more talk about that. As well as next week, as long as I can put all the parts in place, get Ray Cash on here, maybe get Dave Unger on here. It is the trial of one PC Tunney. He is going to have to answer for his crimes. What am I talking about? You got to tune in next week to find out. So let's wrap back around the horn here and thank my co-hosts, starting with our special guest, the man on the hot seat, Mr. PC Tunney. Sir, thank you.
No, thank you guys for having me. I always have fun talking with you guys. Even more fun this week. I just like arguing. It's good fun with wrestling, right? We all respect each other's opinions, and that's what's great. You can kind of get into a lively debate and just recognize that you both kind of love the same thing, which is professional wrestling. So remember that at the end of the day. Chairshot Radio Network, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
All right. And Bucky's tag team partner, Jason.
My friends, it has been a wonderful show. PC, you're a mensch, as always.
Grazie.
And the shoot bear who came out hot tonight, from the Rob the Genius podcast. Mr. Rob, do you need a drink?
I know I'm going to get in trouble for this one.
That's all right, man. Maybe we'll have the trial of the shoot bear in a couple weeks. We'll see what happens.
I actually do like women's wrestling. I do. Okay, please don't let me.
Sure you do.
Please don't
let me.
Unfortunately... Rob got put in the corner. Rob and I, kind of, because I want to defend Rob a little bit. Because you guys went first, you were like, oh my gosh, the women's Royal Rumble, it was so good, it was so amazing, and this, and I was like, okay, well, was it? Was it? I don't know. It was very, very good, but Rob made some good points as well.
Okay, well, you know I'm adding that on to Rob's intro now. He absolutely loves women's wrestling. That's part of...
I do!
He absolutely loves women's wrestling, but...
My goal for 2023 is for me to take like 5 minutes to introduce Rob at the beginning of the podcast. That is my goal by the end of the year. I'm just going to keep adding taglines onto his intro every time something comes up.
There you go.
That's my gimmick for 2023. All right, gentlemen, I am the man with the award-winning beard. DJ, this is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com. We remind you to always use your head. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we're out of here till next week.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.